All right, so let me now get into the story because I learned a very valuable lesson today. Maybe you already know this, but this is something that I discovered today. You cannot cook hard-boiled eggs in the microwave, okay? So this is the thing. You cannot cook hard-boiled eggs in the microwave. So I am actually in Detroit right now, and I have a little suite with a little kitchenette, and I don't have an oven, and I do have a little microwave. And in fact, the pans here are, well, they're the type of pans that, let's say, everything sticks on. So when you make eggs, you actually end up with maybe half of your eggs because the rest is stuck on the pan. So I had the great idea this morning after burning several eggs over the week. I decided, you know what? I am going to make some hard-boiled eggs in the microwave. And at first, I thought this was genius because I thought that I was on to something. And so I put four whole eggs in a small little pot of water in a little plastic container, and I put that in the microwave and I let it go for about 6.5 minutes. Nothing happened, and I assumed that the eggs were not cooked yet. And so I went ahead and thought it was a good idea to add just a little bit more time. And so I added a little bit more time, and then I got back onto my computer and I was starting to record an audio. When all of a sudden I heard this huge explosion happen. And then the microwave door completely burst open. Egg was everywhere. And let me tell you the smell, okay? The smell, yeah, I'm really hoping by the end of my stay that the smell is gone because now I feel like it's in my hair. So has this happened to you before? Did you know about this? Is this just me who's discovering this today? Do you know that you cannot hard boil eggs in the microwave? So let me know if this is already old news to you. Please share with me. And again, if you're tuning in today, then maybe we can share or answer the question that I originally asked, which is where do you believe we get our energy? And so now that I've shared my egg story with you, and now you know how gross it stinks in here and smells like eggs. Let's get into the chemistry of thought because this is going to be a very, very important one. And so we're going to tie this into the conversation around how we get our energy. And many of us, if you've answered food, okay, if you've answered nutrients, then I actually want you to maybe have an open mind and a sense of curiosity around really where we get our energy from. Because if you are experiencing emotional eating, or stress eating, or you're feeling super exhausted during those long days where you haven't had a lot of sleep and you're wanting to reward yourself with maybe some snacks in front of the TV at the end of the night, or you want to reward yourself with a pick-me-up in the middle of the afternoon, something sweet or maybe something savory, you notice that you don't really actually get a lot of energy from it. Or maybe if you do, it is very temporary. And so I'm going to actually ask you this question. Okay, and just to think about it. So if we're going to assume that we don't necessarily get our energy or our vitality from food, then could it be from a different source? Let's say, for example, you wake up in the morning. It is a gorgeous day outside. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. It is summer. Or maybe it's fall. It's your favorite season outside, and the air smells so crisp and clean. And you know you don't have a lot to do that day. It's very, very stress-free that day. You plan to go for a walk, and as you're about to get out of bed, your partner walks into the room, gives you a cup of coffee that's freshly brewed, and then lets you know that breakfast is on its way. And so, after eating breakfast and having a beautiful morning with your partner, you get into your emails and you notice that they are all a beautiful emails from clients sharing gratitude, sharing success stories. Maybe it's even your boss offering you a raise. Now, where is your energy at after having this beautiful morning where all of your basic needs are fulfilled and you're getting all these beautiful messages? It is gorgeous outside. The weather is on your side today. How are you feeling? You feel like going for that walk. You feel like committing to any of your self-care rituals because you have so much energy. Now, what would happen, on the contrary, if you woke up that morning and you noticed that it's really cold outside, it's been raining. In fact, it's been raining all week. It's gray, it's gloomy, it's muddy outside, it's kind of gross and wet. And as you go down the stairs to get yourself a cup of coffee, you notice that your partner finished all of the coffee and left you nothing. Not even two sips of coffee were left for you. And then as you get into your emails, you're noticing all of these really upset messages from customers telling you about how they wanted to maybe write back for a refund, or they wanted to send in a complaint, or maybe it's even your boss again telling you that your job is at risk because that final report that you sent in around month's end was not exactly done in the way that he wanted it. Now, how are you feeling? You notice now that you have low vibration, you're low energy. In fact, you're likely looking for a little pick-me-up. You're needing that immediate and temporary relief, maybe from something sweet, right? We're looking for that fake source of energy, as we call it. And so when we have these two scenarios, we can then really get into the thoughts that are taking place in every single situation. So we spoke about how thoughts create chemistry in the body in our last week's module, in last week's live. And what's really important to expand on is that our thoughts actually create our reality. They impact our mood, and more importantly, they impact our decisions and our behavior. So when we wake up in the morning and we have a lot of gratitude and we're happy and we're joyful around the very simple things that have happened in our lives, such as coffee in bed or someone's making us breakfast or these really beautiful emails that we're receiving from clients or maybe from our boss, we're feeling ecstatic. We're feeling like we have so much energy. And on the other hand, when our thoughts are negative, or when our thoughts are around how upset we are with the weather, or the things in our lives that we cannot control, the things in our lives that are really getting under our skin, we start to notice that our energy also goes down. And so when we're wanting to make changes in our behavior, the place we need to start is our thoughts. The quality of our thoughts are a direct reflection of the qualities of our life, and in fact, of the decisions that we make and the behaviors that we make. Because when I learned this, this was one of the most profound things I've ever learned. And as soon as I started to apply it, and more importantly, become aware of it, become aware of my thoughts, everything started to change. And so, if you're not super sure, or you're not really seeing how a thought can actually create a difference in our physiology or create chemistry in the body, how about this as an example? What happens when we have a sexual thought? I think we can all agree that when we have a sexual thought that comes up, either because we saw something, we heard something, we felt something, we remembered something, all of a sudden we notice that just because we had that thought, there is an area in our body that suddenly gets excited or suddenly starts to maybe activate. And what happens when we watch a scary movie? Even though we're watching a scary movie and we know that this is Hollywood, or we know that this is amazing graphics and this is all computer animation likely, we still react. We start to sweat. We start to get nervous. We start to fear also what is going on in the plot of the story as if we were in it ourselves. And so that's how powerful thoughts are. When you're watching a sad movie, what happens? Your physiology changes. All of a sudden, you also start to get sad. You start to notice that you're getting emotional, and that could even last hours and hours after the movie. And on a personal level, I've stopped watching these scary movies and these very sad, upsetting movies. I mean, I've gone through a lot of this in my life. In reality, I didn't need to re-experience it through a movie because I noticed that after I watch a movie, I actually absorb that energy, and now my thoughts are also impacted. So just start to notice that. And why this is so important, because as we've been talking about protection mode and safety mode, more specifically talking about the nervous system and talking about how every single thought creates an emotion that is a reflection of either protection mode or safety mode, it's so important to just notice our thoughts. When our thoughts are of gratitude, of expansiveness, of joy, of happiness, of complete surrender into the unknown of all the things that are happening, of love, of kindness, of empathy, when our thoughts are focused on love, and especially when we are engaged also in positive and loving self-talk, that also has a massive impact in the body. Those thoughts create emotions of love and gratitude and surrender and peace and joy. And as a result, the consequences that follow, which are the actions and the behaviors that we're going to engage in, are going to be a reflection of those thoughts. It's hard to stay positive when our thoughts are always negative. And it's hard to create success when our thoughts are always focused on what's going to go wrong, or how we're going to fail, or how we're not enough when we are about to start something new. And so when our thoughts, on the contrary, are focused on how we are not enough, how things are going to go wrong, as we just stated, how maybe we have fear, or maybe we have doubt, or maybe we're uncertain about certain things, or maybe we're worried that the worst possible case scenario is going to happen. When our thoughts are focused there, we are going to trigger emotions that are reflective of protection mode. And these emotions are going to be of fear and anxiety and of stress and of doubt. And if you are experiencing these emotions on a regular basis and don't have the ability to sit in these emotions, to cope with these emotions and have them become dysregulated emotions, you're going to start to notice that your behavior is oftentimes considered emotional eating. You're maybe seeking out food as a reward, as a quick temporary relief due to that dopamine effect, and realizing that the more you engage in this emotion, the more you're triggered to eat to overcome that emotion. And of course, after you're done eating, you may now experience a secondary emotion of guilt or shame or disappointment, which again compounds that initial emotion that never really went away. Because food, it allows us to cope temporarily. It gives us a relief, but it never really takes away the main issue. And the main issue really stems from our thoughts. It stems from our emotions. And as we spoke about last time, when we are triggered into protection mode due to trauma or due to past experiences, even if those past experiences were real or imposed food scarcity, what we're noticing is that we get trapped in the cycle the more we have or allow ourselves to have that secondary emotion of guilt or shame or frustration. And so if you are going through this, controlling food is not going to be the way out. The way that we get out of any unwanted eating behavior or any self-sabotaging behavior is not by controlling the substance, because that's really the side effect of what's really going on. The root cause of what's really going on is the dysregulated emotion. It is that part of the nervous system that's constantly activated that is just trying to protect you. And so, in order for us to really overcome this, we want to create awareness. And if you're not certain around where to start, because we spoke about awareness often, and we're going to continue to speak about awareness. And what I love about this tool is that not only is it so simple, right? Awareness is just allowing ourselves to be in the present moment, to really observe what's going on without a judgmental stance. If we actually are able to embody this tool and apply this tool, then we can actually see the whole cycle taking place, because this is all a program running through your mind. Right now, if you are struggling with binge eating, if you're struggling with emotional eating or stress eating or mindless eating or nighttime snacking, what's actually going on is that you're just trapped in the cycle. It is a program that's running in the subconscious mind, and in order for you to interrupt it, you first must create awareness. You first must understand what is going on. Because remember, it's the thoughts that are giving the emotions that are creating the behavior. And the behavior, when we're not satisfied with it, when we are disappointed in ourselves with it, gives rise to more emotions that just pulls us right back into that cycle. So in order for us to interrupt these patterns and reprogram the mind, we have to create awareness. And if you're not sure where to start, if you don't know what it is that you're wanting to look for, then I'm going to welcome you to hop on a 30-minute free discovery call to really understand how to start your journey. And maybe there's a way that we can support you through that with our Make Peace with Food program. And remember that what we're going to do on this call is not only share with you if this program is a right fit for you, but we're also going to really help you get started. We're going to determine where you are. What is it that you're wanting to accomplish? And if there is a strategy that you've been using over and over and over again that has not been giving you a result, then we are going to point that out. Because I want you to ask yourself this, and this is, again, one of the most profound quotes I've ever heard in my life. If I repeat the same thing over and over again, and I don't get the result that I want, then that is considered insanity. So why should I keep engaging in the exact same type of strategy and the exact same method that I know has never worked for me. If I've been dieting for 20 years or for 5 years or for the majority of my life, I can't even remember when I started dieting. It always feels like I'm always dieting. I have to ask myself the very simple question, is it actually working? Because I hear that dieting and food restriction and calorie deficit should work and I should be able to release weight, but it's not working. In fact, all I've noticed is that I now have a disordered relationship with food. I am now obsessed with food. I'm obsessed with what to eat, when to eat, how to eat, how much to eat. And I'm also obsessed with body image. And I'm obsessed with my weight. I'm obsessed with my size. And I'm so nervous and scared to eat because I'm so worried that I'm going to continue to put on weight, or I'm just going to find myself completely confused, not knowing where to start. And so if you're still trapped in that cycle, I just want to offer you this exploration of curiosity. What would happen if I tried something different? Because clearly controlling the food is not working. I've been doing that for so long. I am tired of feeling hungry. I am tired of constantly getting my hopes up and then just seeing them crash down and burn. What can I do differently this time? Could it be that instead of addressing the food and instead of addressing what it is that I want to eat in a rational way, maybe what I have to do is actually address what's behind that, which is the behavior. And more importantly, what's behind the behavior is going to be the nervous system. And if you're noticing that this has been going on for a long time, I guarantee that there is a nervous system involvement here, and that most likely you've been locked into protection mode for a long time. And that's the thing. When we've been locked into protection mode, the body does a beautiful job in adapting. In fact, we don't even know differently. We've just become so accustomed to the level of stress or anxiety or worry or doubt that we're constantly engaged in. It's just become a normal part of our day-to-day life. In fact, we've been almost addicted to these thoughts and addicted to these emotions, even though they don't serve us. Even though we don't like to feel stressed or anxious, we end up being addicted to them because an addiction is just your body learning something and then being very stubborn to learn something else, even when whatever we're addicted to is not serving us. And that's why it's so hard to break that addiction just with pure willpower. That's how we have to sh shift the nervous system in order for us to really release these unwanted eating behaviors. And so I want to leave you with this today again, and just walking away from this conversation and maybe just allowing yourself again to be curious around two different thoughts. The first thought is, have I been repeating the same thing over and over again and still not getting the results? And is it time now that I try something different? Can I be brave and curious enough to maybe try a new strategy that may actually work? Something that's completely different that doesn't even involve food restriction or dieting or focusing on food, but really allows me to reconnect with my body? And then the second thing I want you to consider is, what are the qualities of my thoughts? Where are my thoughts at all times? Am I focusing on positive thoughts? Are my thoughts reflective of a positive mindset or a positive body image or a positive outlook on life? Or do I tend to actually default to worst case scenarios? Am I really harsh and hard on myself most of the time? Is that where my self-talk is usually happening? Do I give myself a daily dose every single morning of negative self-talk while I'm standing in the mirror or after I weigh myself in the morning? I want you just to walk away with just that, because if you can identify your thoughts, you're going to be able to identify whether you are in protection mode or safety mode the majority of the time. Have a beautiful rest of your day, and I will see you next week.